tonight as we go through bits and pieces of the life of Joseph. And really, there's a lot to learn. You can learn a lot from Rachel. Learn a lot from Leah. You can learn a lot from Esau. There's a tremendous amount of things that psychologists have yet to figure out that Esau will teach you about your own heart and about your own hurt in the background, what causes people to do what they do. That Bible is an eternal book. And as we just sample some of the stuff in the life of Jacob, and when you just sample that stuff, it's just amazing what you find. But we get to a place here. Well, the last two concepts, one of them is putting away strange gods. God says in Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, he says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. No exceptions. When we get this idea that we can sort of mix and bring into our hearts all of these different, what the Bible calls strange gods, and think that God would be happy and satisfied and would coexist with your sin and with your lusts and with your bad habits and things and your bad language and your wicked eyes and things. You think he'll coexist with that? He doesn't like it. And he asks us to put some things away tonight. I pray that we have ears to hear. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I ask for help. I need your help, God. We need to just listen to you tonight, so please take over. We've been blessed by not only the fun, but the music has been amazing. Lord, we've enjoyed bits and pieces of just seeing the life of Jacob brought before us, both in the class time and now the preaching time. But God, it's not going to come together unless you bring it together, unless your Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. I pray you would tonight. I pray that we would be hungry to hear from you one more time. Help me, Lord. Help me help these folks. These are young men and young women. Lord, they're going to grow up someday. They're going to be a Jacob. Or they're going to be an Israel. Or they're going to let something stop them from being what you designed them to be. Maybe tonight we'll be able to find out what is holding us back. Maybe we'll find out what the devil plants in our life so that we don't fulfill our design. Would you please help us to hear from you? Lord, may every child, every young person, every adult examine their hearts and see the strange gods that are in there. Lord, if there's any child in here, any young person who's living a lie and has never been born again, may tonight be the night where they finally and forever get saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Jacob's been changed. Something happened in that wrestling match. Late at night, for hours on end, Jacob and this angel began to wrestle, and it was a grunting. There was no words spoken. It was just a fight to the death, Jacob thought. And as he wrestled in there, something changed in him because he realized this was not his enemy. He may have thought it was Esau. Snuck in. It was trying to kill him. So I believe Jacob fought with all of his might. It may have been a robber. He did not know who it was. He just knew that this guy was really strong. And in that night, in that wrestling time, he came to find out this is no human being. This was an angel. And as the sunlight began to break over the horizon, the angel says, I gotta go, it's been fun. And Jacob, who's been wrestling all night, sweat is pouring down his brow, and he is worn out. He grabs an angel and he says, I'm not letting you go until you bless me. He had sought the blessing from his father. He had sought the birthright and had taken it from his brother. He had taken the blessing and stolen it, what had belonged to his brother. All the way along, he had stolen from his uncle. He had sought the blessings of everyone around him, but he missed life. And one day where he had the chance to have the blessing of God, he said, I've got to have it. He realized it was going to be a passing moment. That wrestling match was not by accident. If he didn't get it then, he would never get it again. Jacob was changed, amen. He had been changed from a runner to a man who would now face his problems head on, humbly. He had been changed from a liar to an honest man. Changed from lost to found, from the old man Jacob to the new man Israel. That's what happens when people like Jacob get born all over again. But still more changes were needed. He was not where he ought to be. He was converted, but he still carried some old baggage. There were some things that were not only in his life, but in his family's life that needed to be gotten rid of. Did you know that Jacob's family is going to struggle with bitterness for years to come? Do you realize that this family of 12 brothers and one sister would end up hating one of their own brothers, Joseph, and selling him and claiming that he was killed? Nice family. Huh? What if one of your sisters sold you to some Polish people coming by? You do realize that they're going to lie and stand there, perfect faces, going, "Our father, our brother's been killed." And they acted it out. You realize this was Jacob's family, and it was all going to be after his conversion. Jacob's wives would hold resentment against their uncle Laban, and Rachel stole her uncle's idols and was hiding them in her tent. This was all in Jacob's life still. So stuff was going on, and I just call it the things that was part of Jacob's life. I'm just calling it stuff or any other word. If he held on to this stuff, if he just went on with life with all of this going on and brewing in the background, if he didn't strive to start to deal with it now, it was going to bring him down later. Things that were going to trap him again are called strange gods or idols. They're foreign to the God of heaven. Believe me, when it comes to idols, God hates them. There are a few things that God hates. I know there are a lot of things you hate. I watched, whether it's Tuesday night or Wednesday night, when the cooks put those green beans out there, I saw a lot of you go, "Ugh." But you know, God has perfect hatred, and he hates all idolatry. As a matter of fact, he even hates the tolerance of idolatry. You may not be bowing down, but the fact that you don't get rid of an idol in your life, God hates that. I had to say goodbye to a bunch of very expensive records. Back when I first got saved, I had to get rid of some records that I decided, I said, I won't listen to them anymore. I'll just sell them when I get older. Because they were worth some money. But as I read my Bible, I read that God hated idols, and my music was my idol when I was unsaved. And I had to, I tell the story to my church, I burned them, man. And the ones that were easy to break, I broke them, but the ones that wouldn't break, man, these records, they were worth a lot of money, I had to burn them. But I had to get rid of those things. I had to say goodbye to a bunch of loser friends who are going to hold me back and going to keep pulling me back to the same old ways. I had to say goodbye to them. Because God hates idols. Now, what are these things called strange gods? Let's go to Genesis chapter 35 and let's see the use of this here. Genesis chapter 35 and verse 1. God said unto Jacob, there in your Old Testament, Genesis 35, verse 1. And God said unto Jacob, "Arise, go up to Bethel, dwell there, just stay there a while, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother." Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, and there were quite a few, "Put away the strange gods that are among you, and be thou clean, and change your garments." What are these strange gods? I'll tell you what an idol is. When he's talking about strange gods, he's talking about idols. Strange gods are powers over your life. There are all the powers over your life that are not Almighty God. They're called strange because they're not normal. You ever been in a strange place? You ever had a strange feeling? It's last night. Kevin Thatcher says, amen. Strange feeling. Well, there are things that are not normal. And that's what a strange God is. It's not the right God. Because there are strange gods. When he says strange gods, he's talking about images that people bow down to. They're objects that represent a god or a deity or a saint, and they are worshipped. But strange gods are more than just images. They are people that we blindly admire and follow. You know who I can find out who you worship? Find out who you listen to on your iPod. I'll find out if it's Eminem. He's just a nut. That was a joke. None of you got it. You good. You know, you blindly follow these. I mean, when Brother Keith was talking about Lady Gaga, it's the only way to pronounce her name. That was not even touching the surface of the lives of these people. And you're blindly following somebody you wouldn't want to be within 20 miles of if you knew what he's really involved in. You're blind and you're following a wicked person, and that is your God. People you blindly follow, they are your idols. They are somebody you put more important than Jesus Christ. Anything or any person other than God who can tell you what to do and what not to do, they are an idol. Your parents, they're not able to tell you to get up, but your friends can text you at 2 a.m. and you're up and out some window. They are your God. You see what I'm saying? Your pastor, oh, he can't tell you to get a haircut or to tell you to put on a modest top or wear something more modest, but your friends, all they have to do is hint at you getting an earring, and you got five of them. Amen. Your friends are your gods when they have power over you. You know, God gave your parents power over you. God did. He didn't give your friends power over you. You know, your music, Madonna and Michael Jackson and Eminem and these, I can't keep up with it. There's just no way. I don't even have the desire to look into what you are listening to and what you're watching on MTV. But all of that music, man, I tell you what, you would live to listen to that stuff 24/7, and a hymn won't stir your heart. I know who your God is. All gods other than Almighty God are the devil. He just wears different masks. He just uses people and things to get you. He doesn't care who you worship as long as it's not God Almighty. And because he knows that if you bow down to this pylon here, if you bow down to this microphone, if you kiss somebody's feet, I don't know, he doesn't care. Each time when you're not doing it to God, you're doing it to him. All gods and all powers, all deities that are not God Almighty are the devil. Now let's look at these four verses. Just get some background on what God asks Jacob to do here. Verse 1 again, let's read it again. And God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel, dwell there, and make there an altar unto God, a place to worship that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Remember that? Over 20 years ago. Verse 2, then Jacob turns and he says to his household and to all that are with him, put away the strange gods that are among you and be thou clean and change your garments. It was the first time in his life where he didn't feel ashamed and he didn't feel guilty because he couldn't say to his family to do right because he wasn't doing right, amen? But now he can look and he says, guys, we're going to do right. We're going to start right. Verse 3, let us arise and go up to Bethel. I will make there an altar unto God who answered me in the day of my distress. Amen. That's a great praise. And was with me in the way which I went. And they gave, watch this, verse 4, unto Jacob. What's the next word? You ought to write down next to that, if you got room in your Bible, no holding back. You know what the modern word for it is? Fanatic. Fanatic. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand. And it goes even further. Their earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. God had told Jacob to get back to Bethel. Something happened. And believe me, folks, listen to me. This is an old building. Would you agree? All right. I mean, this thing creaks. And I mean, you go into some of those rooms and you figure somebody died in there 85 years ago or something, you know. You go around. But it doesn't matter where you're at. What matters if God shows up. Jacob's there. There's nothing but a pile of rocks. And God shows up and talks to him. And he says, this is the house of God. You could be sitting in your room. You could have just a beat up old bed. You could have just a tiny little dresser over there and a small little desk. And you open your Bible and you start reading your Bible. And you just pray for your parents. You pray for your pastor. You beg God for power to live for him. And God shows up. That's your Bethel, man. Doesn't matter where it is. God told Jacob, get back to that thing. Don't go back to the big cathedrals. Don't go to the huge temples. Don't go to the place where you just feel so energetic. You know, some of you, I really am glad for team number two, but I'm burdened that team number two on Sunday will just sit there like this in church. Because if this place makes you energetic, then you didn't get this week. But if God puts something inside of you, you can't shut up on Sunday. You won't be able to shut up on Monday. You'll be sitting there going, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Do you want to catch up with that? Yeah. He's working at McDonald's, man, and he's singing away. That's what'll happen if you have a Bethel, if you have been told that's where God interacts and interferes in your life. And you say, I got to keep going back to that thing. God tells Jacob, get back to that Bethel. You know what's funny about Jacob? For the first time in his life, he wanted to. I hope you want to. I hope there's 50 kids in this room who say, you know, for the first time, I can't wait to go to church. Amen. For the first time in my life, I want to sing in church. I want to do a skit. Well, maybe you might. They might not just you do a skit. We will on Sunday night. But you want to do right. Isn't that a good start? Amen? Jacob ain't perfect. He's not walking on water and flying through the clouds, man. But Jacob wants to do right. Isn't that awesome? He says, let's go. He'd never want to do that before. You know what? Jacob was no longer going to run anymore. He was like the prodigal son saying, I can go home. I can go home, man. He wanted to worship God without the shame and embarrassment and guilt. Some of you come to church, and I know the very reason why you do not open your mouth in church, why you don't sing, why you don't participate, why you would never be caught dead doing a special, because there's embarrassment in you. I'm pointing at her, but not because of any special reason. There's some sin that you just don't want to deal with. And your heart's grown cold. You've let the lie of the devil convince you you can't win. And so you just sit there. Folks, want to do right. That's the best thing you'll ever do is say, God, I want to do right. And he'll help you. He can't move you until you want to be moved. So Jacob takes steps to put his house in order. He says, we need to put this thing in order. And he does it spiritually. He says three things. One, and the most important one, and this is one we're going to focus on, is put away the strange gods among you. Get rid of them. Secondly, get clean. That doesn't mean take a bath, although we could use one. To get clean is talking about on the inside, in the head, in the heart, man, in the thinking, in the imagination. And third, now you can change your garments. Because all along the way, Jacob, for 96 years, has dressed like the world, talked like the world, acted like the world. And Jacob looked at his family and he said, we look like the world. We're trading in those clothes for some plain, simple clothes. We're going home. Amen. Go put some things right. So what God teaching us from Jacob tonight? What could he seriously be wanting to teach us? Well, it's very simple. How to handle strange gods in your life. How to handle these strange gods. First of all, let me say right off the bat, you better fear the strange gods that are in your life. I watched as a young, where's Keith? The second. Where are you, Keith? I'm looking at you. I watched him yesterday before we went up to the V. He looks down, he's like, a granddaddy log legs. And he picked up that little spider. Look, Pastor, look, look, look. And he ran over to the girls, look, and they went, ah! I said, get him again. You know, I had when I got called to preach, a guy named Ryan McCarthy. I hadn't thought of him in a long time. Ryan McCarthy got called to preach the same night I got called to preach. Ryan McCarthy was, when I was 17, Ryan was 17. Ryan McCarthy was built bigger than Johan over here. Definitely better looking. And Ryan McCarthy was the star American football player in our high school. He was the popular guy. Everybody's popular guy. I was a new kid on the block. I was just saved. I was skinny, still am. I didn't have anything going for me, and we both got called to preach. And I remember going up there telling the pastor I'm called to preach, and Ryan McCarthy, pastor holding up the Ryan McCarthy, says, Ryan has answered God's call to preach, and we're going to see about Craig. This big hunk of a guy. We went to youth camp. I was invited to youth camp, 17 years old. I should have been a kid, man, but they made me a counselor. You're going to counsel these kids. And I'm sitting there at youth camp, and we get ready to go to bed, and I loved youth camp because they put little pill. You know what these little roly-poly bugs are? We called them pill bugs when I was a kid. They put spiders in his sleeping bag. And I'll never forget the scream that Ryan McCarthy let out that one night as he squished into his sleeping bag.
Good night, everyone. You're safe with me.
And he's sleeping. And we're looking at that, man. That old boy has never done anything for God because he's terrified of bugs. He never fulfilled the call of God. I don't think it was just fear of bugs either. But I'm going to say this. We will fear bugs. We will fear heights. We will fear everything except what we're supposed to fear, and that is messing with the devil. You better fear holding on to idols. If God hates them in your life, you're in trouble. People who involve themselves with these new age practices like horoscopes, you know what a horoscope is? There are people who read the newspaper, they pay to phone them up on their text or on their phone or send texts. People who go to these palm readers, people who go to these psychics. Oh, it's just a bit of fun. They are opening themselves up to receiving impressions from demonic spirits. You don't mess with that stuff. You better fear getting tricked by Satan. Many of you are scared of the dark. Amen? And some of you overcame it last night. Amen? Some of you are scared of creepy sounds. And some of you are scared of Brother Dan. At least one of you is scared of him. But I guarantee you, I heard more than one person scream last night. I know that. But you better start fearing seeing filth on television. You better start fearing seeing wicked stuff on the internet. You better start fearing that stuff getting into your life. Idols have to be feared. You just don't touch them, man. Secondly, idols have to be searched for. Psalm 139, 23, 24. Who can say it? We've memorized it here this week, didn't we? Somebody stand up and say it. Come on, some of you. Yes, Miss Sarah. Brilliant, brilliant. Folks, If you've got an idol in you, you're going to have to look for it because they hide. Just don't go around with some big eye on your forehead.
I'm an idol worshiper.
It doesn't appear like that. When the devil puts stuff inside of you, he sort of just throws it in your back pocket. You don't even know it's there. You've got to go looking in your life, examining and finding what idols are there. Did you know Jacob had some false idols, false gods? Rachel was one of them. His wife, to him, was more important to him than God. He wanted Rachel more than he wanted God. You know what that made Rachel? An idol. A strange. Now, I think all women are strange, but Rachel was a strange god. That was a joke. My wife is excellently strange. exquisitely strange is what I'm looking for. Rachel was not God, but she meant more to Jacob than God. She was more important to him than getting right with his brother. She was more important to him than getting right with God. Another god that Jacob had was money and riches. He wanted the money, he wanted the cattle, he wanted the land, he wanted the easy life. He was always too busy to be at church. He was always too busy to read his Bible. Talent. Oh man, if you met Jacob, he's the smoothest. That's not even a word, probably. He talks the smoothest. You ought to try to say it too. Come on. He talks smooth. Amen. Listen, don't correct me while I'm preaching. He was talented, and he knew it, and that was the danger. He was good at fooling people, wasn't he? Oh, man, he knew how to fool his father. He knew how to fool Laban. Oh, but Laban started to turn the tails on him, but that's another story. He fooled his brother. Do you know what it is? When you are a great singer, and you start to sit there and start singing, you sit in the classroom, you sit in the church or whatever, you start playing, and everybody's, woo, yeah. All of a sudden, you just start leaving church, and you start going out in the world, and your talent is just oozing, and you forget about God. I'm talking about a guy named, can't think of the name now, Elvis Presley. Thank you. Elvis Presley. You know what he used to do? He used to do like John, just John here, leading songs at church. Everybody loved him. Then he started to let it go to his head. He says, I'm good. Ooh, I'm good. And his talent became an idol. Do you understand what I'm saying? His ability. Now, I know none of us have an ability, so we're not in that problem. His fashion. Oh, yes, that fashion was there. As he had traveled, he collected a lot of jewelry. He collected a lot of fancy clothes in his family. It became an obsession with his family, and it cost him his daughter's purity. Women, if you are so concerned about how you look, ladies, moms, if you're so worried about how you are just so fashionable, if all you're thinking about is fashion, your daughter is going to lose her virginity. Because whatever you start, she'll finish. You better learn that. And young ladies, you listen to me. Jesus Christ bought you. He paid for you so that you'd be free and you'd have your life and for you to have a good life. Don't you let some slimy, wicked, filthy, ungodly boy touch you. That fashion you're showing off there, I don't know what the girls have been teaching you. I just hope to add one more nail to the coffin. And that is that these truths, that fashion is where it's at, is a lie. You know what the Bible says? A meek and a quiet spirit. Not all the fancy hairstyle, not all the gold, not all the attitude, you know, the girls have. You know what it is? Godliness. Some of the girls in here, I just want to stand up and praise you and thank God for you that you came in a dress and you stayed in a dress. I just want to thank you that you put out the effort, whether we were climbing a mountain or whether we were going through patches and stuff. You were modest, and I thank God for you. Amen. Whether I ever thank you or not, he is impressed. Because the fashion has become a god. Oh, I couldn't wear that. Oh, I couldn't be dead wearing that. And because I saw her wear it last night. You need to look at your life and see, what is there in my life that is more important than God, that has power? Does my phone have power over me? Mom and Dad can call me 76 times, but if that phone vibrates, I gotta go. That's a God. You understand what I'm saying? You gotta search for them. Every Christian has allowed strange gods in their home and in their lives. I've looked around some of the Bibles in here. Do you know what? There's some strange words if you don't have a King James Bible. We have strange gods there. Some of you got Living Bible. You got some of this stuff. You better sit down with your mom and dad and say, I'm ready for the big Bible now. I'm ready to learn the Word of God. Amen. Can you buy me a King James Bible? Because you're reading strange words. Some of you are messing with strange fire. Some of you got, you know, just like I did when I got saved, I moved from rock music to Christian rock music. And so they just headbang to Jesus. It's called strange fire in the Old Testament, and the priests were killed for messing with God's way of worship. You know, your girlfriend, boyfriend, husband, wife, your children, if they are more important to you than God, then they are idols. If your image, if you, you may be a natural clown, a natural smooth talker, a fashion queen, then you're the idol. You're worshiping yourself. Strange ideas about Jesus, God. When I first got saved, I had a bunch of friends who says, man, chill out. It's okay. He's okay with it. We're okay with it, man. I had this idea of Jesus, some long-haired hippie up in heaven saying, let's have a party. He is holy still. I have strange ideas about Jesus and God. You know, some of you, you know what's dangerous? I watched this week, and some of you gravitated, and you got with good friends. Some of you gravitated to the deadbeats. Some of you started hanging around with the backslidden kids that maybe not even be saved. And you just started pulling away from everybody. Everybody else is excited and you're just standing there. That's an idol. That's a strange God. If God Almighty walked into this room, you go, no big deal. Look at my friends here. That's an idol. You need to have a good self-examination as to what is there in my life that is super important, more important than God. Third, they need to be exposed. Third thing you got to do is expose them. What are you talking about? Your sharp tongue. Some of you girls are fast on the tongue. Us guys are like bricks. Duh. We take one breath and you have said 15 sentences, young ladies. Your sharp tongue, you need to pull that thing out and you need to look at somebody that you just spoke rough to and you need to say, that was wrong of me. I'm sorry. You need to get that idol out and get into the light. Some of you backtalk your mom. You know what a backtalk is, don't you? She says what to do and you tell her what to do. That's backtalk. It's wicked. That's your own power you're using. Well, I can tell her. You don't tell her nothing. That's an idol. And you say, Mom, I can't believe I just said that. I just got back from camp and I'm using the tongue like I used to do and I'm sorry. What are you doing? You are exposing it. You're getting that idol off of the throne and you're putting it out of the light and it says, I hate it. Amen. Grumbling, murmuring. Oh, I love this one. Rolling the eyes. Come on, you know how to do it. Oh, good night. Oh. Who's that? Who's in charge there? You are. And when you, and the way you expose it is, when you do that to your mom, you need to immediately know she saw you, and she probably just went, what am I going to do? You need to look at her and say, Mom, it's okay. I just realized what I did, and I'm sorry. You're exposing it. If there is a secret sin in your life, the way to defeat it is expose it. Just get it out. Stealing from your parents. Some of you lie and you don't even think about it. John 3:19 says this, "This is the condemnation. The light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil." So why do they have the light so low in the pub? Why do they do that, huh? Why do they turn the lights out? I particularly, when we were watching a film the DVD, we put it in there, we sit down, and all the kids want to turn the light off. I want the light on, man. I just do. That's just me. Maybe I'm weird. On purpose. I just don't like total darkness, man. If it's dark, I want to go to sleep. Amen? Hey. Because men love darkness. And they sit down, and some of you, your moms and your dads and your grandpas and grandpas were afraid of the theater. They were upset at the theater because it was dark in there. And bad things happen in dark places. So you need to take something that's inside of you and you need to expose it and put it in the light and look at your parents and says, "I was wrong and that was wicked and that came out of my heart and I'm sorry." And you expose it and that thing goes, shrivels up. Amen. Yet some of you will wait till you're caught. God help you. You'll wait till pornography is found on your phone or until it's found on your computer. You need to pull that stuff. You need to go and talk to your dad tomorrow. You need to talk to somebody tonight. If there's something on your phone, and I'm glad, aren't you glad? Hey, I don't know if you snuck your phones back, shame on you. I hope this week you got away from your texts. I hope you got away from the influence. I hope that you had nothing but a break from the world so you could see it's clean. It is wonderful living free from all that stuff. And if you've got an idol on your phone, something, some filthy image, come talk to me. I'm not going to kill you. I'll pray with you, I'll talk to you, and I'll help you. Folks, there's not one of us who hasn't struggled with idols in our lives. And you need to be free from it. Some of you, you've got lust. You think you're in love, and all you're thinking about is some guy. You're not in love. Some girl. You can't breathe. You can't go to school because somebody's on your heart. Listen, your heart was made for God first. He says you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. You'll be able to love that woman. You'll be able to love that girl when you're ready. But if you try and love her before you try and love God with all your heart, the devil wins. You better fear that. You got to expose that. Bitterness. You're upset at your mom. You won't listen to her. You won't let her say a whole sentence without cutting off her conversation. That is bitterness, and you got to expose it and say, "I can't believe I did that. I just got back from camp, and I'm sorry. That's the old me, Mom. Dad." Now, I want to show you something. Look at verse 4. "They gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand and all the earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under what? Under the yoke, which was by Shechem." I'm not sure I fully understand this, but this is cool. You know where an oak tree is? It's a very strong tree. I don't know if it's the strongest tree in the world of all time, but he looked around and he saw a mighty oak tree. He got out that shovel and he dug and he put the idols under the oak. And I got to think about this, and I don't know if it's right, but I kind of like it. You need to take your problem and bring it under somebody stronger than you. You need to put the way you think, the way you feel, go back to your parents and says, "Am I right in this?" And you're taking your idol, the way you think, you know, "I'm so cool. I got it all together." And you're taking that thought and you're putting it under a mighty oak, your parents. And when you do that, you're defeating the strange gods. You understand what I'm saying? Every time you sit there and you think, "I don't need anybody's help," you're just getting stupider and stupider and stupider. But when you look at your parents and you say, "They may not be as smart as I wish, but God gave them to me, and I'm going to put my idols under them, and they'll help me with it." I got one amen out of that. That's a great truth, man. Put them under something. And then you need to destroy them. Do you know you can't keep an idol around like a pet? They are a doorway for Satan to get into your head again. I never realized just how important it was to get rid of the bad music in my life. Now, maybe, folks, you guys are, you're good liars. I've watched you for a week, and I haven't seen you, you know, bebopping down the hallway with your iPods. I don't know what you're like on Mondays. I don't know what you're like on Tuesday nights. I have no idea what it's like on Friday nights. You look like all great kids. But I know what I was like. And I found out that unless I destroyed my way back to the old life, I would find a way back. Because everything I kept from my old life, from the moment I stopped being Jacob and I started being Israel, when I stopped being the old Craig and I started being the new Craig, whatever there was left over still clinging to me was a way back. Every single time. Every one of my friends pulled, I nearly killed my best friend because one of my other best friends says, let's go racing. I had no license. I stole my mom's car and we went driving. And I've done it a couple of times. But this time, we wrecked. All because a friend said, let's go driving. Let's go racing. That friend was bigger to me than God. You know what I had to say? I had to say to Chris Burford, I had to say, Chris, you either need to get saved or else I have to say goodbye. Because you're dangerous. And he was. You need to destroy the old gods. Jacob buried his false gods. He put them under something strong and mighty. In the Acts chapter 19, the Ephesian Christians, they had all of these books on magic and on sorcery. They brought these books out and they burned them and they watched the flames go up and they shouted like prevailers, amen. Because they said, we've got to burn these things. We can't let them influence our children. We can't have them being a way back to the old life. Gideon, when God called him to lead the mighty army, the first thing he said to Gideon, he said, Gideon, you get in there into your father's house. There's an idol in there. Break it down. It's a family idol. It's a test. Are you going to be a leader or are you going to be a wimp? Amen. Some idols need to be buried. Some of them need to be burned. Some of them need to be broken. But they all need to be destroyed. Amen. Last thing, how to stay free from idols. That's what you do with an idol. How do I keep from picking up a new idol? If you're going to stay different, you're going to have to replace everything you've thrown away with something better. Just basic stuff. It's called, take your Bible and turn to 2 Corinthians 7:1 now. You can leave Genesis, go to 2 Corinthians 7:1. This is why we chose this verse for this week's youth camp. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Who's got it? I want a guy to stand up. No, I want a guy with a voice. And Laura raises her hand. All right. 2 Corinthians 7:1, clearly, loudly.
Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote to me, it is good for man.
Nope. Did I say 2 Corinthians? 1 Corinthians 7:1. Is this? Oh, okay. It wasn't my fault this time, amen. 2 Corinthians 7:1.
I mean, therefore, these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit,
perfecting holiness. Perfecting it. If you want to perfect your... Now, how many like basketball? I mean, there's hope for this country if we start liking basketball here. But basketball is a cool game, you know? You're bouncing the ball and you're shooting it into the hoop. Do you know how to perfect your shoot? You do it, and you do it, and you do it from this angle, and you do it from that angle. You do it in your sleep. You do it while you're eating breakfast. You're thinking, all right, if I get over here, and if I just throw it a little higher, whatever. You go over it and work on it and work on it and work on it. It's perfecting something. If you want to learn a language, if you want to learn Irish, you want to learn English, you want to learn a language, you have to think about it and work on it till you do it without even thinking about it. It becomes something that is part of you when you perfect something. And if you want to live as a Christian, if you want to be free, you want to have the power of God. If you don't want to be enslaved and entangled by Satan's traps like your friends are, and you know them, you're watching them head down a path, and if you don't stop them, if you don't intervene, if you don't help them, they're going to hell. When they go to hell, they will look back and go, nobody cared for my soul. you want to perfect holiness, you're going to have to work at these steps the rest of your life, folks. It's called perfecting holiness. First thing, there in Genesis chapter 35, verse 4, Jacob commands his family. He says, give them up. Bring them up. Put away all the strange gods that are among you. You know what they did? They obeyed. I don't know why it's so hard. Why is it so hard to just do what we're told? We got a lot of the old Jacob in us, probably. Everyone, including Rachel. Now, Rachel had the most stash of gods. It was so angering to Laban. Listen, there were a lot of idols in his home, but she took the best, and she took maybe a good section of idols. Rachel's kept them. He went looking for them, couldn't find them. She still has them. She's with her husband. Her husband is getting right with God. Her husband is wanting to serve God. Her husband is wanting to follow God. And he looks and he says, you've got some false idols. Let's get rid of them. And without a heartbeat, she says, here they go. Amen. They obeyed. You know where you begin to obey? Your parents. Don't you tell me that, oh, I'm obedient. Let me talk to your dad. We'll find out how obedient you are. By obeying, no longer rebelling. Secondly, by going all the way. I said, had you circle that word all in there. Don't do just the smallest that you can get away with. This is such a shame. You guys have experienced excited Christianity this week, amen? You have experienced true love for one another. I've seen some of you teams. I said you guys are family, and you became a family. Why can't you do that at church? Why can't you look at the younger Sunday school kids and look down and go, they are awesome. They're just like a camp. Can I help teach Sunday school? I think I could bring some energy in there. Amen. That's what some of you need to do. You need to look at this thing and say, I went all out at camp. I was part of the prevailers, and I want to go and be a prevailer at Sunday at church. Amen. I want to go all the way for God. That's what they did. When he said, let's put them away, they said, let's do it. And they went. I mean, when I was a kid, I collected everything in my pockets. I still wear kind of a strange feeling like I got to have something in my pockets. And if you check my trousers, I have something in this pocket, I have something in that pocket, I have something in that pocket, I have something in that. I like having things in my pockets, okay? All right, I got that off my chest. But because when I was growing up, if I found a pretty rock, oh, I'm keeping that. If I found an arrowhead, I was always a rock, but it looked like an arrowhead. Man, that went in this pocket, man. Man, I found some metal piece, man, it had three holes in it. It was cool, man, I kept that thing. My pockets were full of treasures, what I thought were treasures. And I'd come home, my mom looking to me, what have you got in your pockets, man? I could have been, I'm talking about a six-year-old, I could have, nothing, you know? But you know what I did? I'm like, let me show you. Out came all of my treasures, man. I can see Rachel, Leah, Bilha, and Zilpah. We're not going to go there. And I can see Reuben, Simeon, and Levi. I can see them all reaching the pockets and saying, Dad, you didn't know, but I had this phone. You thought I only had this phone, but I got this phone too. And I want to give that to you, and I want to say I'm sorry for lying to you, and having a secret means of communication with my friends, and I'm ashamed. That's my idol. Somebody else pull up and say, Dad, I get on the internet. You don't know it, but I bypass your security, and I get on to the filth that's out there, Dad, and that's my idol. And I just want to turn it in and say, help me, please. I don't want to ever go down that path again. I want to go all the way. Whatever God asked me to do, I want to do all that he asked me. Amen. You see what I'm saying? If you're going to stay free from idols, you can't keep that secret phone. Amen. If you're going to stay free from idols, you can't just keep yourself just doing whatever comes easy. You got to get rid of some of this stuff. I like how it says, and they turned in the earrings. Now, how big are earrings? I know. Most earrings. They're tiny. Huh? I like that. God likes us to even look for the small things that we think, oh, nobody will notice. He says, even turn in the earrings. Amen? Amen. You know, some of us, we bring like a, you know, a dump truck full of junk. Some of you got some earrings, you know, and you're like, do I have to give these up too? Yeah. Yeah, because that's the way back. If, you know, if you got some earrings from a old boyfriend who's unsaved and constantly texting you and always wanting to go out with you girls, you got those earrings from him, you know what you need to do with them? Show them to your mom. Say, Mom, that's a way back, and I'm dumping them. Amen? I'm not going to hold on to that wicked stuff because it'll take me back under bondage. You came to camp, you put up the whole week, might as well get the whole package, amen? Just go all the way. Amen. Set up your own Bethel. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to be here for Brother Dan's preaching, but I bet you it was good. We have to have our own walk with God. Jacob knew just how much he needed now to walk with God. He needed to have a place where he knew that he and God talked and where God would talk with Jacob. Bethel wasn't just for Jacob. It was for Rachel and Reuben and Craig and Deba and Denham and John and Dan and Sharon and Nita and Keith and Kathy and Remy and Kate and Jack and Bozzy and Johan and Marius. It's for every one of us. Every one of us need a Bethel. Every one of us need to have that place where you say, man, I've been busy. I've been burned out. I've been studying. I've been bugged out on television. I need to get to my Bethel. I knew when I was right with God, and I'm not now, and I need to go, listen, Mom, don't call me. I'm not eating tonight. I need to just go read my Bible. That's your Bethel. Amen. After your mom is resuscitated, the fact that you're talking Greek to her, amen. Praise God, amen. Set up your own Bethel. You need a place where you always know that God meets with you. And lastly, stay humble. From that wrestling match, Jacob never could stand on his own power anymore. What we take for granted when we're running around climbing up mountains. Jacob hobbled, man. He had to lean on that staff. There was no strength in his thigh. The strongest part of a man's body, I know a strongest part of a woman's body is right here, the mandibles. Anyway. Courageous guy. The strongest part of a man's body is right there. You cut that sinew. You cut that tendon going between these two joints here. You break right here in the hollow of that thigh. He's never walking again. Not without crutches. Let me tell you this. From now on, from tonight onward, you need to make a vow that you're going to walk humbly with your God. Your manhood ought to be secure. Your womanhood ought to be secure. You have nothing to prove to anybody. All you need to do is walk humbly. Don't you dare go home and your mom say, so I was camp. It's all right. Where are you going? Up to my room. I'm not walking humbly. Your friends say, what happened to you? Oh, nothing. I'll get over it. To walk humbly means you look at them and you say, something happened to me. I haven't all got it figured out, but it's good. Next year, you're going. As a matter of fact, Sundays are coming. You come with me now. My point is, walk humbly. Jacob never could run again. He never could strut around. I'm Jacob. I'm the hustler. I can sell a car to a cat. He no longer had that arrogance. He walked humbly. That's how you stay free from idols. You want to get idols back in your life? You want to get, and the idols are grips of who? Satan. That is his implant in your life that will bring you down. And Jacob said, we're going up to Bethel, and I want to get rid of everything that's in us, stopping us from having a good time at Bethel. And if, listen to me, look at me, Austin, look at me, Nisha, look at me right up here. If something is stopping you from having a good time at camp or at church, or on a family picnic, I don't care what, if something, I don't want to be here, I want to be with my girlfriend. Bury your girlfriend under your parents' authority. Amen. 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 You need to have a good attitude. All the time, girls. All the time, guys. Amen. Because you're Christian. Stay humble. Stay humble, man. Conclusion. God told Jacob to return to Bethel. Get back to where it was awesome. Somebody was saying, can't wait till next year. Can't wait till next year. This is going to be hard to survive for a whole year until next year. Amen. Maybe this was a Bethel for you. Maybe this was a time where you say, I was here last year. I was here the year before. And each time it is such a special time. Amen. Amen. But let me tell you, you're getting old enough now. Set up your own Bethel. When you go into church, you know, everybody in my church freaks out. Because when I'm not there, and that's not very often, they sing kind of quiet. But when pastor comes and I'm leading singing or I'm in there, I'm pretty loud. Would you agree? Because I'm in my Bethel. I don't have to come to camp to sing loud and to lose my voice. Amen. 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 I'm already at Bethel. Amen. Amen. You do that. You do that on Sunday. You show people what Bethel's like. And then when you do get away, you go, boy, I can see the difference. I think I'll go back to Bethel. I think I'll get back to the way I was. Jacob at least wanted to do right. Does anybody in this room want to do right? Anybody? Sorry, anybody?
Amen.
Jacob put his house in order. He asked for three things. They all intertwine. Put away the strange gods with inside strange powers that had power over them. Then start being clean. And then you know what you'll be able to do? You'll put aside the clothes and the outward. I can't tell you. Get these clothes on. Change that hair. Fix those eyes until you've got your heart fixed. Amen. Amen. Do you understand that? Will you fear? What are you going to do? You're going to do like Jacob? Will you fear idolatry in your heart? He feared going back. He knew what it was like to wrestle that angel. He says, I ain't wrestling him again. He knew what it was like being afraid of his brother coming to kill him. He says, I'm never going to do that stupid act again where I take advantage of people. So he feared going back. He feared idolatry. Will you do a good search for idols here in just a moment? You ask God, God, show me where there are strange gods in my life, where there are lies that nobody else knows about, and now I need to expose them. I have lied. I've said to my parents, oh, yeah, I got saved. Oh, yeah, I read my Bible, and you don't. Will you destroy your idols? Are you man enough, are you woman enough to say, I like reading books about horoscopes and psychics. You need to bring that to your mom and say, Mom, can you get rid of that? I don't want to even know where it goes. I want it dumped. You got stuff on your phone that you're ashamed of. You need to talk to your counselor tonight. Don't you dare. Don't you dare say, I'll talk another day. Tomorrow will come and the devil will go, you got out of that. Now let's get going again. You need to get rid of it tonight. Are you man enough, woman enough to talk to somebody and say, there's something on my phone you need to see, and I want you to help me get rid of it. Expose it. Destroy it. And then live as I've been changed. I want you to live like you've been changed if you have been because of Jesus Christ. Stand, let's bow in prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Just ask simple question. Simple question. You going to be like the old Jacob? Or the new one? I like new things. I like new things. I like new clothes. Needle tell you, I've got some old t-shirts. Every once in a while I run out of t-shirts and we don't get them washed, and so I have to wear an old one that's got holes in them, you know? So nice to go to the shop and actually buy a new. Some of you girls know that every week. I like having a new life. I'm glad God's mercies are new every day. Every day. I like new things. If you got changed this week, if something started this week, will you take a decision today to want to stay that way? At least want to say. Jacob in Genesis chapter 35 hadn't gotten to Bethel yet, hadn't gotten everything fixed in his home yet, but But he has every intention of it, doesn't he? Would you have some sort of goal? Some sort of desire to say, I want to do right. I want to. God helping me. Now here's the test. Here's the test. I want you to pray this brief time of silence and say, God, help me see the idols in my life. Maybe it's my attitude. Maybe it's just this stinking attitude I have towards everyone except my friends. And it's an idol. It's a strange God, and I hate it. Can God talk to you tonight, or is it just silent in there? Would you keep your eyes shut? Ask God right now, God, what strange idols do I carry? What ones are hidden that my parents don't know about? Maybe not even my friends know about. What secret sins do you mess with that you're ashamed of? And you sort of just shove away and you don't want to face them. What's there? Say, Pastor Craig, the Lord is really dealing with me about idols in my life. I want to do right. I want to, like Jacob, I want to live the changed life. Would you put your hand up? I want to live this new life. Now some of you are like, yeah, you do. You want to live differently now that you've come this week at camp? Some of you, amen? Anybody want to live differently? Amen? All right, it begins by being born again. Thank you, you can put them down. It begins by being born again. The only reason why I'm able to say up here that I'm changed, and not just that I have a good feeling, is because Jesus Christ came into my life and he brought change. Has he come into your life? Or are you just living a lie? Jacob talked with God 20 years earlier. Oh, he heard the voice of God. He even worshiped God, but he was not saved. He was a faker. He was an actor. I would hate. You know what? I love you guys. You are more important to me than life itself, because this week is all about you. If you died tonight and you went to hell, it would break not only my heart, but God's heart, because it was for you to get saved. If you're not born again, if you have never asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart and save you, I'm not talking about just praying a prayer, but asked him to save you, would you just put your hand up and say, Pastor, pray for me. I don't think I'm born again. I don't think I'm saved. Just put it up, put it down. Anybody, I know some of you have already been dealt with, but anybody else, I'd rather miss everything else than miss the chance to lead somebody to Christ. You say you're saved. All right, let me ask you this. Are you, does it show? Do you act or look or sound like a Christian? If not, I wonder if there's an idol in there. And by an uplifted hand, you say, Pastor, I know there's an idol in my life. Would you pray for me? I know there's an idol in my life. Would you pray for me? There's some guy. There's some girl. There's some secret. Amen. There's some sin. There is an idol in my life. And I know God is now asking me to put it away, to put it under something stronger than me. I can't control it. I thought I could, but now it's too big. I give it up. All right. Amen. You can put your hands down. I'm going to ask you to do this. Ask you to talk to your leader. We're going to take a break here in just a minute. I want you to go and grab your leader. If you're man or woman enough, the devil's going to actually say, oh, don't worry about it, don't worry about it. Let me tell you, the devil's a liar, and he doesn't mind if you go to hell. But if you want to come talk to me, you want to talk to John, you want to talk to any one of our counselors, would you please do it? If there's an idol in your life, put away all the strange gods. Can't impress it enough. Don't let the devil have a back door back into your mind and into your life. You'll regret it for the rest of your life. Father, I just ask you in the simplest way I know how. Help us make a decision. Help us to put away the strange gods. Oh, Lord, when we get rid of them, we look at it, we go, why did I hold on to that so long? That was so weird. Why did that boy have all of my attention? He is such a loser. Why is that girl in air? Why? When she was, all she did was dump me. You never leave me or forsake me, Jesus. You have always only loved me. with a never-ending love. You have always taken care of me. You have always, always watched out for me. Lord, I do love you, and I ask you, God, please help every person in this room put away the strange gods. In Jesus' name, amen. Look up here as we sing, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus.